The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast. I am your host, Sarah Herron, and we may be on a two-month hiatus from the Bachelor franchise actually airing on your television screens, but Here for the Right Reasons is here for you. And barring major schedule issues or absolutely nothing happening within Bachelor Nation, which is rare, I will be here every week until Zach's season premieres in January 23rd. So we have a bit of a long stretch, but I will do my best to keep you entertained on usmagazine.com and on this podcast, starting with what I think was a very fun interview with Susie Evans. This is one of Susie's first interviews since her breakup with Clayton. If you didn't know, Susie launched a blog, which she does talk a lot about. It's what the interview was pegged to, but it was also just like a very candid conversation about being in the public eye, being within Bachelor Nation, why she still watches the show, how she navigated backlash. Of course, I asked about her and Clayton breaking up, about whether she would date within Bachelor Nation, why Paradise seems like a pretty hard no for her. And I think it's a fun listen. I think Susie is really great and very smart and kind and had a lot of fun things to say and was quite insightful. So keep listening to the Susie interview if you want to get to the Clayton stuff. It's probably about 10 minutes in, we start going there, and then we're a little bit all over the place, but I think it's a fun listen. So without further ado, here's Susie Evans. Okay, Susie, let's jump right into Susie Was Like, the new blog, the new venture. Tell me about it and the launch, why this was the move for you.
I actually had so many people asking like why a blog in 2022, just because I feel like it's kind of old school, but I actually used to blog when I lived in Japan. I had a little food blog and it was called Sushi with Susie, and I would go try different foods at different restaurants and like nobody was reading anything, but I had fun doing it. It was just like a fun passion project for me. So kind of through the life change that I had, you know, going through a breakup and I was going to move and then I decided not to move and just kind of like take a break to figure out what I really wanted. I had mentioned to some of the people at my management team, like, I think I want to just start blogging just as like a self-expression, a place to put my media projects, a place to just like put my feelings and thoughts out into the world, or, you know, my passions, like whatever it is, all in one place. And they were really encouraging and they're like, you should like just do it. If it's something that you feel passionate about, just go for it. So the past couple of months, really, we've been working on just putting everything together, getting it all sort of in one place. We launched like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, maybe just a week ago. But it's been really fun. I feel like it's been good for self-expression, good for just kind of like figuring out what's next, like even seeing how it's evolving already. I'm like, oh my God, it's just so exciting.
Is writing always been a form of therapy for you? And is kind of getting a larger, somewhere where you can write more thoughts, more detailed thoughts, a longer situation helpful for you in a world where now, you know, tweets, TikToks, everything, it's out immediately. And then people are interpreting it. And now in a blog form, you have more words and ways to explain yourself, but also is writing something that you've always kind of been drawn to, or is it more of a new thing for you?
I've actually always loved writing. So I studied, I was a film major in college. So writing was a big part of studying film and videography. And it used to be like fictional, like I would write scripts and stuff like that, which was always really fun. I mean, they were normally short film scripts, but I've always loved writing. Even in elementary school, through high school, I was always like, that was my favorite subject was English in school, just because I liked the self-expression of it and the creativity. But it has been really nice because I do enjoy like being on TikTok. I actually love social media. Like I love consuming it. I'm a big consumer of social media. But it's been fun being able to create it and like engage with people. So finding a way to like transform that into a blog seems like a really great way to just like build on that community and get to know people better. Like we started a Facebook group where like people are already connecting and supporting each other and like sharing stories about like who they are, what they've been through. And like, I've seen people say like, hey, can I send you a private DM? Like, I would love to discuss this further. So that's been really cool as well, just to see people kind of like, the idea is that it's going to be a place where women and really whoever can get together and like support each other and like cheer each other on, share tips, like even if it's like silly things like sharing like the Black Friday sales. I was like, everyone comment below. Like, I want to see what you guys are, where you're shopping. Like, let me know the Cyber Monday deals. And so it's just like a fun place to kind of swap information and support each other.
You're so funny on TikTok and you are active on Twitter, which I love. But, you know, you probably experienced all different kinds of feedback and now you're opening yourself up to more feedback.
Oh my gosh,
obviously amazing things. Like you said, you're already building a community. But have you always been able, like in this past year, been able to kind of take it with a grain of salt and poke fun at it? Is that like a fun part for you? Or did you have to like get there? Because I feel like you see all kinds of people in the Bachelor world or reality TV or any of this. Some people can't look at it anything at all. Other people can poke fun at it. How did you get there? Because I feel like you've always, I mean, especially on TikTok, like you've always been very funny and kind of beat people to the joke, which is smart, I think. But
that's like one of the things I wrote in one of my first blog posts is I kind of say like, since I was a little kid, and I'm going to expand on it later in a future blog post about confidence and sort of building self-esteem. But like, since I was a little kid, I always kind of had like that beat you to the punch sense of humor where like, if I make fun of myself first, then like, it won't hurt as bad if somebody else does it. And like, that's good for me in a lot of ways, but it's also like, it's definitely held me back at some points in my life. Like I've, that kind of humor, it can be like self-deprecating at times. So like, it's something I've had to be aware of. But I also think like when it comes to TikTok or comedy in general, like I think that the people that are the funniest are the people that take like real life situations and find the light in it. So I think that is like also a positive to my personality is that I can see the, like the things that like I know are going to be made fun of or things that I know are going to be sensitive, even if it's towards me, and I can like sort of twist it and make it into something that's lighthearted and funny. It certainly doesn't mean that like when people say things, I think I get more upset when I see people say like hurtful things about other people online. Coming from pageantry, which like, it's so weird because I feel a little disconnected with that community. It was a great way to like build confidence in myself. And it was a great way to, I received a full ride to school and stuff like that. Like it was great for me in a lot of ways. But people felt very comfortable making comments about your body or your look or like so many things that have nothing to do with who you are. And so I think that that in a sense prepared me for dealing with like internet trolls when it comes to like superficial stuff.
Right.
But the hardest part, I think, for me was actually dealing with people who had like a lot of negative things to say about my character, because that is something that like I hadn't really dealt with, where people were like, yeah, I mean, taking stabs at my character judgment or just like anything that has to do with my character. That's where I was like, oh, wow, this actually hurts really bad. Like, say all you want about what I look like, because I'm confident in who I am as a person. And that means way more to me than anything like physical. So it was like a weird balance. Like,
yeah,
but I think I did have some like experience going into The Bachelor where I'm like, oh, like that stuff on the surface, like whatever, try me. I like who I am. So like, you can't hurt me, but
I mean, that's incredible. And I feel like the way to go into it, but obviously everyone's human and like, it's not fun. And there's a very thin line that people cross too often and ruin it for the fun part where we can poke fun at what we're watching and just be a normal human about it. But for you, what would you say is like a biggest either misconception or something that you are excited for people to learn about you after kind of being introduced to you in this world and through a relationship that you're no longer in, but now you're your own person and you're kind of doing your own thing? Like what do you want people to know, or what is the biggest misconception that bothered you or anything along those lines?
I don't know that it bothered me, because I don't know, I went on the show, and obviously you're kind of like tied to the storyline or the narrative that they want for you. And certainly elements of all of that were a part of who I am. But I think maybe the biggest misconception would be like going on the show and then having this platform and having it be like, oh, it's all about me. Like, and I joke all the time that I'm vain. I joke that I'm like conceited or whatever. Like, I make jokes about that all the time. But like the truth of all of it, like my blog is named Susie Was Like, it has my name in it. But the truth of all of it is that like any positive or like, you know, any big platform that I'm getting from the show, like I really want to use it to actually highlight other people's stories. Like my dream in life is to be a documentary filmmaker and to use my platform to share stories of other people, like share stories of injustice, share stories of people overcoming amazing things. And like, I really think that my blog, obviously right now it's fun and it's lighthearted and I'm getting like letting people get to know me because that's like how I have received this platform, is people gravitated towards me for whatever reason and they're following me. So I'm allowing people in on my life, but like ultimately I want to also share that platform with people who really need their voice heard. And so I think I wouldn't say it bothers me at all that people might think like, oh, she's come off the show and now she's got this blog and she's doing Instagram and all this stuff. Like, it's been so fun and I love doing it, but like I really want this ultimately to be about like other people and sharing stories. Like, I think that's like the root of who I am, is like sharing stories. I love, like, I was a film major. I love the idea of being a documentary filmmaker. So I'm hoping it'll kind of like all come together in that way someday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of my questions is going to be, you kind of touched on how you're going to come up with your topics to write about and what your goals are. And you kind of touched on that, but are there any, how do you come up with your topics? How are you kind of approaching this? And also, I mean, people are probably coming to you for dating questions and dating advice because that is the platform you come from. So are you going to be writing about that? Are you worried about kind of keeping the public informed on that? Because that's when people are going to read into every little, you know, the hand in the corner of your Instagram story and, you know, where your eyes are looking in a picture. Like, it's crazy, but people will read into that. So are you open to dating topics? And that was like seven questions at once, so go ahead.
That's okay. I love it. I love seven questions at once because I'll give seven answers at the same time. I think that I'm open to having like dating conversations. Actually, I think that it's really fun and people do ask a lot of dating questions. And I think more than anything, like ultimately a lot of that comes down to relationships and like healthy habits with yourself. Like, that's what I've learned as I've gotten older. Like, through every breakup, I've learned so much, especially like this last one, just not even because of the relationship, but because of it being so public. Like, I really wanted to be like, I need to understand this. I need to understand myself and like what I'm going through and my experiences. But I think, I'm totally open to it being a talking about relationships. And I actually have a segment that's going to come up in December with, I'm collaborating with another Bachelor Nation person. And we sat down and we went through, I asked everybody on Instagram, send me your dating questions, like send me embarrassing stories, send me whatever. And we just like literally went through my DMs and we were like dying laughing, reading it. We don't really know what it's going to become, but that's like one of the things where I'm like, this could just be like a fun element to the blog where we're talking about embarrassing stories or, you know, dating advice and stuff like that. So I'm definitely open to it and we'll see like what that evolves into, if it's like all kind of relationships, not just dating, but dating is definitely like an element that I'm not going to shy away from.
Could that be Justin, who we were teased with the project to come, Susie?
Cause then it might be Justin.
I saw something on Reddit, like, are they, you know, hard launching something? And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, I don't think so, but you know, people are crazy.
We're hard launching a collaboration. But actually I was there to help him film an ad, which like had nothing to do with my blog. He was filming an ad or something, or filming something for a collaboration that he was doing, and his videographer wasn't available, and I live like 3 hours from him. And he was like, hey, is there any chance you'd be available on this date to do like a videography thing? And I was like, yes. Can we exchange for a blog collaboration? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So we actually had so much fun. Like, I haven't even watched the footage back yet, but we were dying laughing going through the DM. So I imagine it'll be entertaining to watch back.
That is very funny. He seems to have quite a good sense of humor as well, based on what the little parts we have seen on him on the show. One of your first posts was about breakups. And I liked that you wrote about Googling, can you love someone and not be competitive? compatible. I thought that was telling and interesting and probably relatable. Is that how you would kind of describe why maybe things didn't work with you and Clayton? You loved him, but you just weren't compatible.
Yeah, I think that that's like one of the big conclusions that I've come to. And I even think that was one of the things I struggled with in our relationship, was that I kept wondering, not wondering, I just kept having this feeling like, I don't think like at the root of who we are and like our expectations in relationships, I don't know that we are compatible. And I think that I struggled with feeling like it came natural. And certainly like not every relationship is going to be natural or easy, but I think that there were like some, I think it was like ultimately like expectations of like, what do you want in a partner? What do you want from yourself? And like all of those kind of things. And we just weren't really like aligned on those things. So I think it's tough. And I wrote also in that article on the blog where it's like, you really got to vet people before you fall in love with them. Because the like when you fall in love with somebody, it doesn't matter if you're compatible, like you have love for them and you care about them. And then like making the decision to break up becomes even more complicated, because you're like, I love you and I don't want to let go of you, but like, this is not good for us anymore. So I think that ultimately is kind of the conclusion I came to. And it was good to be able to write it out in my blog and like express it in words.
I would imagine that's what a lot of, speaking generally, Bachelor Nation couples go through, because the love is there and we watch that part and then it ends and no one understands these vague statements of it just didn't work and everyone wants this answer or wants to hear this like crazy whatever. But I think it's just like in that environment, in fairy tale land, it was great, but in real world, it wasn't. And I don't think there's any way to change that, because it is a show at the end of the day and it is what it is. But I feel like that's more common than like the big explosive thing. But people want like specifics and answers and to hear something crazy happened.
Exactly. And that's actually why we wanted to do that podcast specifically with Caitlin, because we both really trusted her. And we felt like if we did a podcast with her, we knew that neither of us were going to like get exploited or dragged or get any kind of questions that were uncomfortable. I mean, the whole thing's kind of uncomfortable, but like, you know, we never wanted, neither of us wanted to say anything that was going to make the other person look bad, because we both loved each other. Like we truly did feel love for each other at like a human level before even a relationship. So I think it's true. Like people want to know. And I even see comments still where they're like, well, what happened? And I'm like, well, nothing happened. Like he didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. We just weren't really compatible.
I honestly, that was such a cool move that you guys did that. And I've been covering this show for a long time and I've never quite seen anything so like mutually like find and it was a choice you guys made in like a mutual environment, and it didn't seem forced. Like you wanted to do that. It wasn't like on a live show or it wasn't dramatic, and you could tell the love was there, and it was just really kind of mind-blowing to see, which sounds crazy, but it was, I mean, I don't know how you guys did that.
Yeah, we were apprehensive. Like we went back and forth, and Clayton I think was a little bit more apprehensive than I was. But I think, so he had a big like media day coming up, because he's got a lot going on. I think he's actually coming out with a book now. He has like his fitness program, like he has a lot of great things. And at the time I was also working on my blog. So I knew eventually we would be doing interviews. And I think he had a big media day coming up, and he was like, I think that even though he was like apprehensive at first, like, I think we should get ahead of it and like do something together to show that like this isn't about one side or the other.
Yeah. You also wrote, when I started to feel overwhelmed and got a desire to check up on my ex, I would intentionally not engage with those thoughts. Where do you guys stand today? Because I know you did leave that podcast like hoping to be friends, but knowing it might be difficult. It's been like 2 months. Do you still talk? Where are you guys?
No, we don't. I think that I was like very open-minded to how it would look like. Like I pretty much told Clayton, I was like, I'm comfortable with however, you know, this is going to work for both of us. Like I respect you and I love you, and I don't want to do anything that's going to be harmful for you, whether that's staying in touch or not staying in touch, because I felt like ultimately we both kind of knew that we were not compatible. And I think for him, he was able to express to me that he didn't think it was going to be good to stay in touch. So we don't really keep in touch, but he did send me a really nice message, like, I don't know, a month ago, maybe. And it was just like it brought me to tears. Like I was like, oh my God, like it was just really nice for him to say, like, I'm so grateful for like everything that you did for me in our relationship. And like, I've been able to reflect, and I'm just truly grateful for the friendship that we had at the end of the day. And that meant a lot to me. So like, yeah, it was really, really nice to hear from him, but we didn't like catch up on the phone and we don't text or anything like that. But that was really meaningful and definitely heartfelt. And I could tell that he had like thought about it. And so that meant a lot.
Oh my God, you guys are like the best exes ever. Nice and healthy. You are approaching 1 year since like getting home from filming the show and then embarking on the second half of the journey. What would you tell Susie a year ago today?
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. What would I tell myself? I don't think I've thought about this because obviously our relationship didn't work out. And like so much could have been different this past year if we had figured that out sooner. But in all honesty, like I wouldn't change anything. So I wouldn't tell myself to change anything. I would just like, I would honestly just be there for myself and be like, you're going to get through this. This is going to be really hard at times, but you know, everything that's going to happen to you is going to help you grow as a person. It's going to help you understand yourself better. Yes. Like whenever we leave relationships, we have that realization of like, oh, this is what I want in a partner. This is what I don't want. And like, that's a given. But like, I also learned so much about myself through all of this that, like, which is kind of what led me to the blog. And in the first place is that I'm like, oh, I've gone on this like major journey in this past year where I've really had to look at myself and like, what, like, how did I get through all of this? And a lot of that came from like the confidence I had built or like the assurance I had in like the depths of who I am, like the part of me where I'm like, oh, I appreciate who I am as a person. Like I'm a loving, kind person. And that's a good quality. Like this past year could have been so dark and so scary and so bad for me. But like, I had built so many like mechanisms and tools within myself that like, I did have the ability to cope with a lot of the struggles that I went through. And, so I think I would just be there for myself and just like reassure myself, like everything's going to be okay in the end. And like, let yourself learn these next few months and don't feel like no matter what happens, don't feel like anything was a waste of time. Cause you'll always come out like a better person than where you are right now.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, you have been a Disney princess in Tokyo. You were Miss Virginia and were in the Miss USA pageant. You were on The Bachelor. You were on a public relationship with The Bachelor. First, what was the hardest of all of those three things?
Gosh.
They're all very unique. A lot of people can't say one of them, let alone all three of them that they've accomplished before 30 years old or ever.
Well, thank you. They were all challenging in different ways. In Japan, I was pretty much away. Like I didn't come home for almost 2 years. Crazy. And that was really tough. I just wrote a blog post about that, actually, about being away from home from the holidays and like how you can feel kind of alienated and stuff. So like that taught me a lot about being alone and like being comfortable with who I am by myself. And then Miss USA, I was actually going through so much. My dad was very, very sick at the time. And I was unemployed accidentally. It was 2020. And I started my business. My business failed because of COVID. And it was just a really tough time for me. So that whole year was brutal. And then I like pretty much launched myself into the Bachelor world the year after that. And obviously everything that happened, I would say, you know, it's so hard to pick one. I would say maybe the Bachelor was like the toughest. The whole thing was like the toughest thing to go through, but I also think it's been the thing where I've learned the most about myself. Like I really,
right. Unfortunately, the hardest stuff gets the best reward.
Literally. That's exactly like how I feel is I'm like, I've gained the most like personal growth from launching myself into the Bachelor world and like trying to figure out what I'm doing with all of that. Like it's been good, but tumultuous for sure.
What would you say your biggest lesson in relationships that you've learned in your 20s or from The Bachelor that you'll take into your 30s as you continue to date? And are you ready to date? Are you like actively doing that? Or are you kind of just focused on the blog and what's next professionally and kind of seeing if that happens? Where do you stand with all that?
I'm definitely focusing in on myself right now. I think that I did put a lot of like energy and time into my relationship and I really cared about Clayton. And I think that he was going through a lot of tough stuff as well. So I'm really excited to be able to focus on me right now. I'm definitely open to dating. And somebody asked me on a date yesterday and I immediately started sweating. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this, not because I'm not ready, but just because like dating is scary. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely open-minded to dating, but I'm also just, I think I'm just more excited to be in a place where I can focus on myself and kind of like just do my own thing. As far as what I've learned from all my relationships in my 20s, the biggest thing I would say, like, this comes down to like a partner and myself. So understanding like what it is that I really need in a relationship, really knowing like, what do I actually need? And can this person give me what I need? Because there's a lot of things that you want or that you can work on, but like, kind of like what I found out with Clayton, like foundationally, like we had different expectations in a relationship. So I think I'm 29 and I'm like, okay, like I know what I need from a partner. I know what I need from somebody who can be like a companion for the rest of my life. Like I know the qualities that I want in a person to spend my life with or have a family with possibly. And like staying true to that, like that's like the biggest piece of advice I would give myself in my 20s is like, or maybe just moving forward, because I don't want to take back anything that's ever happened in my 20s. But moving forward, like, you know your expectations, you know what you need in life. So don't waver from that.
Do you feel comfortable sharing one of the things you know you need or like that's your priority when you're looking for a partner?
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think of what would be like a big one. I think that I really need somebody. I am a very ambitious person. I feel like I have really big dreams for myself and like my video business. And I want a lifestyle that will allow me to like have beautiful experiences, meet incredible people. Like I have this dream to be a documentary filmmaker or something like that someday. And I need somebody that wants to see me succeed in that and like wants to 100% like be my biggest fan and my biggest cheerleader and support me emotionally through that, because that's a big dream. Like that's a really big goal. And it's a unique lifestyle. You know, it's not going to keep me in one place for too long, but I want somebody who is like down, you know, I want somebody who's like, that's amazing that you know what you want out of this life or what you want to create and do. And so I just need somebody who's like along for the ride, but also has their thing,
right?
And has like the ability to do that and be passionate about that, but equally support and love me through what I'm pursuing.
If you were given the unlimited budget to now tomorrow start making the first film or documentary, what would the topic be, Susie? Like the world is your oyster. They're like, all right, here you go, unlimited money. Good luck.
Oh, wow.
Where would you start?
Okay, so I've actually spent a lot of time in Southwest Virginia, which there's a lot of poverty in Southwest Virginia in general. And I've spent a lot of time out there working with their school systems and just like going and speaking to kids and talking with them. I recently did a fundraiser with the Children's Advocacy Center, and they work with children that have been through abuse or violent crime. And they have like advocates that work with them and protect them. And my little sister actually she was in foster care for 7 years before my parents got her and they adopted her. So that whole world is something that I feel really passionate about. And I think there are so many kids all around the world, but also like right here in the US as well, that need help and they need advocates. They need people that care about them and that will listen to them, believe them. And so like, if I had unlimited funds, like tomorrow, that's the first thing that comes to mind, because I'm like, oh, I actually know that this is such a big issue and there's so much that you could uncover. And I think that's the beauty in media is like, if people know, people don't know a lot of times. So if they know that there's something going on, they're more likely to want to help it. Or like, right, if there's an emotional connection to it, which media is so great at. You watch a video on TikTok and you're crying and you're like, why am I crying watching this TikTok? But that creates an emotional connection to a problem or an issue or something that's happening. And then the next time you have the opportunity to help somebody that relates back to that video, you might be more inclined to do something about it.
Wow. Well, that's sounds like a worthy cause. Sounds like we got to get the budget going.
Let's get the budget going.
Get the GoFundMe going. On a total left turn, I did want to ask you this because I find this fascinating. I ask a lot of people who come from the Bachelor world this.
Yeah.
Your relationship with the show now, You, again, seem to have a pretty healthy one. You watched Gabby and Rachel's season. You watched Paradise just based on Twitter. I know that. was that hard for you? Do you just enjoy it? Like, is it because it's your friends? Do you think you'll be over it now? Like, how did you get there? Because some people, I feel like, for several reasons, either have no interest or have PTSD or just don't want to watch. But you, again, seem to have a pretty healthy relationship with the show and watched it all afterwards.
Yeah. I think, honestly, Clayton and I both had so I read the book Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got him the book.
I heard him quoting that a few times.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, Clayton, you need to read this book. And one of the quotes that we both really liked was, it's not personal, it's just Hollywood, or something like that. And and that's hard to live by, because there are definitely things that felt very personal on the show. And I look back and I'm like, that was not kind. Like, I was not treated well in this moment, or whatever. Yeah. Whatever my feelings were, like, and everybody feels that way. Nobody's going to come off reality television and be like, that was a wonderful experience. I just
totally perfect. Crushed it.
I exploited my emotional well-being for the purpose of entertainment. Like, there's just no way you're going to come off of something like that and be totally stoked about everything. Like, it's vulnerable, it's tough, and it's business. It's like, it's literally business for people. So I think that there's a part of me that was able to separate some of that. A big part of it is that, like, I loved the girls from my season. I had so much respect for them. I had so much fun with them. Like, I had so many wonderful moments with them when we were filming. And I went back to Virginia, went back to my normal life afterwards. So, like, I don't see any of them, really. I mean, right. I've seen a few of them when I've been in their state or whatever, but it's been fun to, like, watch The Bachelorette, The Bachelor in Paradise, and, like, see these, like, relationships not unravel, but, you know, the storylines unravel or whatever. So it was, like, entertaining for me. And I did watch the show for the, like, 2 or 3 years leading up to going on it. I started watching on Colton season. Mm. And then I would get on Twitter, and Twitter is just so funny.
Yeah, so it's like, really funny. And that's why it's annoying that some people make it not funny, because it's so good when it's good.
It's so good when it's good. Yeah. Like, Twitter is hysterical. And I honestly enjoy being on Twitter while the show is airing more than I enjoy, like, watching the show.
Same.
So
absolutely same. Yeah. If Twitter went away, I would still have to do for work, but, like, it would really be work covering this.
It would
show.
Be like, yeah, it would be work. It wouldn't be, like, enjoyable anymore. Yeah.
What was your favorite Paradise storyline? Who were you rooting for? Who were you sad broke up, and who are you excited? I assume Brandon and Serene, who's not rooting for them, but who were you excited? Who were you sad broke up or didn't work out, or what did you like watching?
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, Brandon and Serene, love both of them. Serene was, like, my roommate for most of the show. Aww. We were really close while we were filming. And then we were both, like, big rule followers, so we didn't really communicate that much with anybody after the show until, like, it started airing. So I just love Serene. I think she's, like, an amazing person. And I've met Brandon through the grapevine, and he also is amazing. Like, she deserves the best kind of love. And I really feel like Brandon can give her that. So I loved watching that story unfold. Who was I sad about? Let me think. I was sad. I was honestly sad for, like, each of my friends, like anybody from Clayton season, or even just watching, like, the situation with Layson, Rodney. Like, they seem very amicable, and, like, it seems like it's all good now. Like, that's like all is fair in love and war, you know. Yeah. That's just life. Like, sometimes people, you find somebody that's more, you're more compatible with, but then that person's not compatible with you. Andrew and Teddy, they were two people that were, like, yeah,
perfect on paper, but it just didn't work out in person.
It just didn't work out. Exactly. Yeah. I think that that was something, like, that was sad to watch. And then obviously, like, I got to know Andrew recently, or Justin recently, when we were working together, and I, like, he's so funny that I'm like, that you would have been, he's great television. I'm like, yeah. Where was the love story? I would have loved to have seen, like, him actually have, like, a successful relationship unfold, because he's pretty funny. So that would have been entertaining for sure.
Would you ever go on the beach, Susie? That's a question you're going to be asked for the rest of your life until you're engaged to someone in or out of Bachelor Nation or married. Someone is going to ask you, will you go to Mexico? So I'm going to ask you, will you go to Mexico, Susie?
I really don't think so, unfortunately. I think, yeah, I don't think that it actually sounds like my nightmare. Like, if I'm being honest,
I don't think there's that. There's some definitely downsides to the situation.
Yeah. Like 100%. I think I used to be like, oh my gosh, like so many paradise couples make it. Like, it's a great way because you're getting like a ton of different options. You can feel things out. Like, that's great. But then watching it back this season, having been on the show, I was like, this is actually my nightmare. Like, you're on a beach, you're in a swimsuit. Like, yeah. Ew, no, thank you.
Yeah,
like,
it's a lot.
On camera in a swimsuit ever. But anyways, besides that, you're literally down there and they're bringing down like literal temptation. They're yeah. bringing like, you think you're in this great, you know, relationship.
Paradise.
Yeah, paradise. And then they bring down somebody who's like beautiful, funny, like smart and all this stuff. And it's like, what? And like, that literally sounds like a nightmare to me. So I don't know that I would, you know, I have a lot of great coping mechanisms. I have a lot of confidence, but I don't know that I would willingly sign up for that.
Right. It's a little bit like setting yourself up to really test all of those things, all those skills yes. you've built. It's like, how far can I push them to see if they're yes, really exactly. working? And then let everyone watch and tell me whether I did it right. It takes us, I mean, we can say what you want about any of these people, but like, it's a hard thing to sign up for. So you got to remember yeah. that. Cause my God, I just could never.
Literally. And I think I really think, and I've never been a judgy person in general. Like, I think I'm pretty empathetic. So I'm like, you just never know what someone's going through. And that's always my mentality. But I would say before going on the show, when I would watch the show and when I would watch Paradise, I was a little bit more judgy mm-hmm. than now. I will see the craziest stuff happen on the show. And I'm like, you don't know what that, we don't know anything. Right. And I'm like, don't judge. I'm like,
they could have gone crazier.
Yes, exactly. And I'm like, when my friends or my family like make comments about like seeing something and I'm like, I have to like check them sometimes. I'm like, we don't know anything. Like yes. literally that could have been so out of context. That could have been somebody was at their emotional breaking point.
No sleep, like, drinks.
No sleep. Exactly. And like, you just never know what the truth of it is. So I think I've definitely like watching it back. I'm like, it's funny, but I have so much empathy watching these stories unfold. Like, you just don't know what people are going right. through out there.
A fine line. Like I said, we can poke yeah. fun, but then remember yeah. this, it's not that hard, people. It's really not yeah. that hard. It drives me crazy. Would you date within Bachelor Nation if someone like tried to set you up, or would you just like not even go there?
Somebody asked me that recently as well. I think that I would really have to be interested in the person and I would want to get to know them before ever like going out with them, even publicly. Like I would want to, I'd really want to vet that call, you know, like I would yeah. really want to make sure that that's somebody that like, if there was a picture taken or something like that, not that it really matters. Like I kind of don't care about stuff like that. But if I were like wanting to pursue somebody like in a public, it would be another public relationship ultimately, I would think, because it's yeah. two people that have been in a public setting. So I would just really have to make sure that I actually really, really like that person before I even like go get like give a first date kind of chance. Just because I think it gets complicated when people want to like talk yeah. about it.
When there's so. Reddit threads about it.
Well, your friends are sending you like,
yeah, hey, like people are seeing you out and you're like, oh, I had no idea no one saw me. It's truly yeah. crazy. The yeah. Gossip Girl is like our world now. You tell everyone what they can expect from the blog. When are you doing like your drops? Is that planned? Is it sporadic? Mm-hmm. How they can maybe join or get involved? And also, has the wedding photography and videography business, has that gotten like even more speed from being on the show? Like, do people want yeah. you as to do their wedding to like ask you about The Bachelor, or like because they know you from the show? Like, have you been at weddings and you're trying to take a photo of a bride and groom and someone's like, wait, like, tell me about yeah. the fantasy suite week from hell?
Oh my God. Yeah. So I guess the first part of that question is, oh, what to expect from the blog. Okay. So, expect the unexpected. That's what I'll say, because I think it's going to be really fun. Obviously I'm going to be sharing like fun tidbits of my life, like some fashion, stuff like that. I will have my emotional moments where I like open up about my breakup, or maybe when I do start dating again, I'll start talking about like what that has been like. But, I think it's going to evolve a lot. I'm really excited to see how it can evolve and like what it can become. We have a Facebook group for anyone that wants to join, and it really is just supposed to be like a place of like support and like rooting each other on, connecting like-minded people. So if you do want to get involved, I think it's going to be a place where I can share like, hey, you know, my friend's doing, I just did a meditation workshop last night, like, which was really, really amazing. And, things like that, where it's like, hey, I've got this friend that's doing something, and it's not just me, it's like anybody can share, like this is like a wellness thing, or this is a mental health speech or, you know, something, or, hey, I want support in this area of my life. Like, I really want it to be a place of community. So that's exciting. And then, yes, my video business definitely has had like an influx of people outside of Virginia, which is good because I think, you know, I'm pretty certain I'm going to move to LA or California, somewhere in California, next year. So it's good that I have like a little bit of versatility in the locations where people are requesting videography. But I will say some people are apprehensive, mostly like mothers of the bride. I've had mothers of the bride be like, I don't like,
you're a distraction.
My daughter. Yeah. And I'm like, 100%, I will come in the ugliest outfit I can find. And like, I will blend in, I'll wear a baseball cap, like whatever you want me to do. But most people are actually so respectful. And I will honestly be at a wedding all day and I'd be like, oh, nobody must watch The Bachelor here because nobody's said anything. And then the second the bride and groom like get in their car at the end of the night and like drive away, I usually get like a handful of girls that come up to me and they're like, I wasn't gonna say anything,
oh my, but gosh,
at the end of the night. And I'm like, oh my god, like it's so funny.
That's the perfect way to do it. I feel like the perfect mix, not taken away from the wedding, but you still get to, you know, interact, yes, with people who want to interact with you.
Exactly. It's like so respectful. And yeah, and it's the end of the night, so like there's nothing, I'm not working anymore. So yeah, people are generally really, really respectful. But then it's also like so flattering. I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you.
I would just imagine like a bunch of drunk girls coming up to you being, yeah, like, oh my god, Susie, like let's cosplay, yes, in, let's like whatever. Like I just, I feel like I would be that girl. So I would only imagine like
I would totally do that. Yeah. I would definitely FaceTime anyone. I'm like, who do you want from Bachelor?
Right, like, let's, who should call, we call? Let's prank, yeah, someone like in the corner of the
wedding. Oh my god. Oh my god. Yeah,
it would, you guys totally go viral for like pranking someone in a wedding, like you pretend it's your wedding or something. I don't know, just throwing it out there.
I love it. I'm down.
Well, Susie, thank you so much for your time and your vulnerability. I love talking to you. I could talk to you all day, but I'll let people go to the blog for more. What's the website one more time so people know?
It's susiewaslike.com.
All right, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
One, two, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.